Sige. As we closing this area on conscience reveals God's holiness, in Romans chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, it says, "Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law." How many of you know that even Gentiles who claim not knowing the law do things required by the law? They show that the requirements of the law are what? Written on their hearts. That's why general revelation siya. Everyone has this. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. So that's what's happening in them. There's a conflict that happens. It accuses them when they do wrong. It defends them when they do right. Accusing and defending. Yan ang ginagawa ng conscience natin. Kaya ang conscience natin, pag may ginawa tayong alam natin, buti lang nagawa ko siya. It defends. But it also accuses you. Naku, mali ata itong ginawa ko. Accusing and defending. That's the nature of the law when you know it. It defends you. O, tama yung ginawa ko. Kaya nga, di ba, pagka when you appeal, when you did something right, where do you appeal? You appeal to the law. It defends you. Pero pag may mali ka, it also accuses you. Naku, sorry ah. So even, what? The Gentiles, what? Have that, according to Romans. Kaya maganda yung Romans eh. The Romans really has a good, very good revelation, parang a sense of how God reveals himself. The first part of Romans, Romans chapter 1, it's a revelation by what? Creation. Through creation. If you go to Romans 2, it's revelation by conscience. Tapos, from Romans 3 onwards, it's revelation through Christ. So from creation to conscience to Christ. Yan ang format ng Romans. Puro sinasabi na, hey, God's there. From creation to conscience, and ultimately, Christ. So, pag nakita mo outline yan ng from chapters 1 to 11, kasi from third about chapter 3 to 11, it's about all about Christ, what He did for us. Paul expands that, speaks about that. So pagdating sa 12, practical outworking. Therefore, in view of God's mercy. So ang ganda ng romance. It's a book of what? Romance. It's God's love for us. So it's the book of romance. Hindi lang romance. Romance. Yan tinatawag na good romance. Good romance. Okay, nandiyan. Okay, so may kanta rin tayo para doon. Joke lang. Kaya wag nating isama sa, ano yan, baka pakinggan ni Paul Barker. Kasi ano mga tinuturo mo dyan? Sabi nga ni Paul Barker, I'm sure you're gonna add some things that I can never add. I'm sure. All right. And that's why there are many instances in Scripture where, you know, Paul appeals to conscience. When he was preaching to Agrippa, he appealed to conscience. You know these things. Tapos sabi ni Agrippa, do you think I'm gonna convert? Ganun siya agad, di ba? So that was appealing to conscience. Paul would use that. Sabi ni Immanuel Kant, who is not a believer, but a very popular philosopher, there are two things which fill me with an ever-increasing awe. So this is a pagan person. The starry heavens above and the moral law within. Yeah, sabi niya, that fills him with wonder. He looks up and it overwhelms him. Eh, isa lang naman kaya mag-overwhelm talaga sa'yo kung lalagyan mo lang talaga ng, imaaminin mo, it's God. The moral law, how could we have this compass inside of us? And such a great universe that we have out there. So Kant was not a believer, was more responsible than any other philosopher for the skepticism of the modern age. Ibig sabihin, even when he was a skeptic, he was a thinking, hindi naman siya yung dismissive lang. Very responsible. That's why he said those statements. Sabi niya, he could not avoid the truth written in the heart and the truth written in the sky. So it supports Romans chapter 2, even with people. So kumbaga, sabihin lang natin, what this is saying is, if you just think through it, if you're going to be intellectually honest, because some people, they're really not intellectually honest, they're just being difficult when they talk to you. Have you ever encountered people like that? Yeah. They've made up their mind. They don't want to really learn from you. They're just difficult. But if people are intellectually honest, they have to admit, man, this is just the wonders of the universe. In fact, you don't have to look at the universe. You only have to look at yourself. At tumingin ka pa lang sa salamin. Diba? Aksidente ba yan? Well, minsan mukha kang aksidente, di ba? Gulo-gulo ng buhok mo, di ba? Baho ng hininga mo. Yeah, mukhang aksidente ka nga minsan, pero hindi ka aksidente. Kasi if you just study your physiology, just the human eye. Now, let's not talk about your whole body, just the human eye. You know, when I was an engineer, we studied the human eye because we were making vision systems. Sabihin, we want to simulate what the eye can see, depth perception, color, edge detection, all of those are the complexity of your eyes. The information required, the computations necessary to just approximate and not even become at par with the eye is phenomenal. Mata pa lang yun. We're not even talking about our hands, our tactile senses. Layo. So, when you're as an engineer, kasi I dealt with robotics, eh. And our model is the human body. Hindi kaya, hirap habulin. So difficult. With all of that what we have. That's how great yung... So you don't have to look far to be in awe. Kaya pag nakita mo yung mga tao, oh, bakit? It's, you're in awe. Oh, grabe. Grabe naman. Oh. Diba? You're in what? Oh. Kaya awe is what? A Tagalog word. Oh, hindi. Joke na. I'm kidding. Okay. So, one way that God, ang maganda sa conscience, it's also part of what we call common grace. It's God's way of what? Curtailing or stopping evil for it, so that it would not be fully manifested. Apart from the conscience, this would be a world of hate, murder. It's our conscience, it's God's laws written in our heart that stops that. And many call that in theology common grace. Conscience is actually part of common grace, common to all. Kasi we are not as evil as we should be. Kasi left on our own, if we could just, ito, minsan, pag, if we are to be honest with ourselves, if we reflect on this, if I could get away with anything, what would I do? Grabe na mo maiimagine. If you could just, you know, you could get away with it. You won't have to face the consequence of what you do. Pag yan nag-reflect ka, ikaw ah, tayo lang. Kahit na, pastor tayo, di ba? But if we'll be honest with ourselves and reflect on that question, we will be so, parang, whoa, we will be so taken aback by our thoughts. And that's why we always constantly need the supernatural grace of God in our lives. Sa thought mo palang, mapaparepent ka na. Diba? Mapaparepent ka sa mga naiisip mo. Pero yan yung common grace ni God. Ganong kabait si God. Kasi kung hindi siya ganong kabait, patay na tayong lahat. The full expression of our depravity, if given no reins, will destroy everything around us and ultimately us. Grabe, no? Kaya may common grace pa rin si God. Grabe, conscience is common grace. Now, what's the goal of Satan when it comes to the conscience? It's to sear the conscience so that man's sins, without any sense of guilt. Magsisin lang siya without any sense of guilt. Have you ever seen people like that? Yung normal na lang sa kanya magkasala. Eh, ganyan na talaga eh. That's why when I was preaching Honor God with Your Heart, I was always telling our people, you know, we could, how many of us know we would fail? But to honor God with our heart is this, to say that even in the midst of our failure, our heart's direction is still towards Him. That we do not just agree na, eh, ganyan talaga, let's just justify, eh, nag-fail na ako eh. So, your failure, hopefully, does not define you, or it's not, your failure is not final. Na, eh, nag-fail ako. But a heart that honors God always say, God, I may fail, but the direction of my heart is towards you. Hindi naman, di ba kaya nga repentance is not about perfection, but about direction. See, people think repentance is about perfection. But what is the Greek word for repentance? A change in what? Direction. And so Jesus said, repent. So what was Jesus preaching? Direction. a change in direction, but not perfection. He was not preaching perfection. He was really preaching a change in direction, a heart directed towards Him. So, yun yung gusto natin, hopefully, di ba? Pero ang ano ni Satan, yung heart natin. Tinitira niya yung heart natin. Para ma-sear siya, tapos maging numb tayo yung conscience. He sears the conscience. So that there's no sense of guilt. We'll just continue with what we do. So that's the goal. Kaya may mga serial killers and all that. I guess, di ba? Sear conscience. Serial killer. Magka-rhyme, ha? Now, let's go to another kind of revelation, which is special revelation. What is special revelation? Ito yung may pula. Hindi, siopaw yun yung may pula. Tapos may itlog na maalat. Okay, special. Special revelation is God's authoritative word conveyed, what? Objectively and propositionally through the exclusive medium of the Bible. So objectively and propositionally. So it's no respectable person, it's objective. It's propositional. Kasi you can say no. Shall not. That's all propositions. Well, it's an obligation, but it's propositional in nature. So ano pa ba? There are other manifestations of special revelation, but it's also within the confines of God's word. Miraculous events constitute special revelation. It does not just happen everywhere. Diba, minsan sa service natin, we have miracles, what? It confirms the preaching of the gospel. Signs and wonders, what? The Bible says, signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the gospel. Anong nangyayari ngayon? People follow signs and wonders. Diba, many of our people, they merong gold dust dito, tayo lahat dun. Merong silver dito. Merong purple dust dito. Mga ganun. Si Barney nandyan. So, lahat, diba, we follow the signs and the wonders. But you know, let's encourage our people that we're not supposed to follow signs and wonders. Because as believers, signs and wonders are supposed to follow us. That's what the Bible says. Dapat sinusundan tayo. Only the unbelievers follow signs and wonders because it's a sign. It points them to a direction, to someone, which is Jesus. Pero pag believer ka na, pinafollow mo pa rin signs and wonders, may problema na tayo. Because as a disciple of Christ, the promise is this, signs and wonders will follow us. So gone are the days, ladies and gentlemen, that we follow signs and wonders. Diba? Signs and wonders. Let's believe God that signs and wonders will follow us. Yeah, that's part of special revelation. It's the gospel, the exclusive medium of the Bible, objective, propositional. Galing, no? Divine speech, God revealing Himself through human language. Again, that's Bible used to be an oral tradition. Divine speech and visible manifestation. So all of that can be seen in God's word as well. But ultimately today, when we talk about special revelation, we only talk about one thing. We talk about what? God's inspired word. That's what you call special revelation. Okay? So again, general and then special. Actually, kaya natin nalaman yung general because of the special revelation of God's word. Saan natin nakuha everything about general revelation? God's word, special. It allows us, it teaches us these things. So ultimately, yung special revelation pa rin, we have a lot to say about that. Kasi doon natin nakukuha lahat to eh. God's word. Okay, so we have just talked about revelation. Now let's talk about the doctrine of inspiration. The doctrine of inspiration teaches that God's influence upon those who wrote the scripture rendered their writings true and accurate. So, when we talk about the Bible, first, it's God's revelation. The Bible is the special revelation, but God also has a general revelation for us. That's the doctrine of revelation. Second, actually, before I say, I continue, I remember this. I read it once. One theologian said this, that nature is God's book. Parang Bible din siya. Whenever you flip look at nature, it shouts about. And Psalm says that, di ba? The trees, the mountain shouts. Kasi pag nakakatik, di ba pagka nag-trip tayo, punta ka ng Baguio, pag, wow, the mountain, it shouts. Pati ikaw, napapasigaw ka with them because of the awe. And that's why they say that nature is like a book. It shows us, it reveals God to us. So anyway, I wanted to just to say that because I read that one. I said it was so insightful. Kasi syempre, when we say book, we always think about symbols, you know, letters and all that. But if you look at the abstract, if you go up the ladder of abstraction, meaning if you think more abstractly, you'll find out that the nature is like a book. You could read God through it and sing praises to Him. Anyway, so that's Revelation. Now the doctrine of inspiration. It means that when the Bible was written, it was written through men, and it was God who inspired them, who breathed in them, so that it rendered their writings true and accurate. Kasi lagi tayong inaano, how do you know that is true? Diba? And ito pa yung problema sa atin. Have you ever, you know, when we talk about the inspiration, people keep telling us, how do you know it's true? You use the Bible. To what? To prove the Bible. Diba? Kasi minsan pag sinasabi natin, ito yung mga verse na gagamitin natin, like here, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. Saan mo nakuha? Sa Bible. So you're using the Bible to prove the inspiration of the Bible. Circular argument ang tawag doon. We are always accused of circular argument because in logic, that's a problematic approach, the circular argument. But do you know that in only one instance is circular argument valid? So in every form of argument, circular argument is an invalid form of argument. But in only one instance is circular argument acceptable. What's that one? It's in the area of ultimate authority. When there is a claim of ultimate authority, ano sabi ng ultimate authority? Kunyari, sa bahay nyo, diba? Ikaw ang ultimate authority dun, within the governance of your house. So your child comes to you, Daddy, I want to be there. No. Why? Because I said so. Aww. But who's the ultimate authority? You. And then what did you use? I said so. What's that? It's a circular argument. It's an assertion that it's circular in nature. Pero it is what? It is acceptable only on the arena of what? Ultimate authority. So, ito na yung labanan ngayon. Pag may meron ka ng kausap na iba, a-accuse ka. Ikaw, you circular person. You argument circle. Hindi man mag-English, di ba? Tapos ito sabihin mo, okay, because the Bible is my ultimate authority, my question to you is, what is your ultimate authority? Kailangan ipaalabas mo sa kanya yung ultimate authority niya. Tapos, ipaglaban mo yung worldview ng ultimate authority. If it's just a question of mental gymnastics, ha? Because everyone has to tell you, if they hit on our ultimate authority, which is the Bible, they have to present an alternative. So, wag na, oh, sige, hindi na Bible na ultimate authority. Kunya, ito yung Bible. Kasi it's the bread of life. Oh, hindi na yan. Bigyan mo ako ng alternative. Nasaan? Walang masasabi yan. Tapos, pag meron siyang nilagay doon, sabi mo, tingnan natin. If whatever is written there, kasi wala na, pag sinama ultimate authority, it cannot refer back to anything anymore. It has to stop ultimate eh. So its content must be a good representation of life. It must account for life. It must account for, according to Rabbi Zacharias, the four most important questions of life, the question of origin, the question of destiny, the question of purpose, question of origin, destiny, purpose, and meaning. That is the four questions of life that must be answered, not only one at a time, but cohesively. All belief system does not have that. Many belief system lack on that. Only Christianity has an answer for all of those questions, cohesively. That's why that is one test of ultimate authority. And when ultimate authority is tested and proven, then circular argument becomes a valid argument. Because in life, we must always ask, why do you believe that? Eh, kasi my mother said it. Who did my... Okay, my grandmother said it. Who said it? The dinosaur said it. Who did the dinosaur... The dinosaur read the... They will have to go back to what? At some point in this life, there must be ultimate authority. Give me yours. Diba? Give me yours. Because for us, we have already made our assertion. And the Bible, sabihin na lang natin. Sabihin na lang natin, granting but not admitting you don't think the Bible is true. With all of the books combined, all literatures in heaven and on earth, if you have gone to heaven and read some literatures there, but only the Bible has changed lives. Only the Bible has been the bestseller of all times. Only with the accomplishment of that book, a seemingly inanimate object, history tells us that there's something divine about that book. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that this inspired writing has survived the test of time, has changed numerous lives, people have died for it, people's lives have been changed by it. Tell me of any other literature in this world that has done that, then let's see. Maybe I'll make that my ultimate authority. But as of now, this is the only one that has the track record to be of ultimate authority for us. Wala. Maglabas kayo. Meron ba? Shakespeare, Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, the second bestseller of all times, second to the Bible, a far second, not even Eat My Dust, far second, the Bible. So, diba? Kasi, ito, dito eh, pag inspiration na kasi, dun tayo na, ano eh, inspiration daw, oh. Ano na siya? Kasi, yun ang sasabihin sa atin sa inspiration. Kasi lahat ng verses na ginagamit natin for inspiration, saan ako kita nakuha? Sa Bible din eh. Pero ang galing ng Bible, you don't need to defend the Bible. Sabi mo, tingnan mo lang yung, ito, alis ako, ito, magbasa ka ng history. I-track mo yung Bible. Yun na. Balikan mo na lang ako pag tapos ka na. Hindi sabihin, you don't have to argue with them. Kasi the Bible makes its case for itself. Ultimate authority siya. And so now, the circular argument is valid. Okay, so don't let logic people put you down. They have to know the conditions by which those arguments are valid. There are conditions by which those arguments are valid. Okay? So, inspiration. And so because of that, you'll see that by just sheerly looking at how the Bible has, the inspired word of God, not only that God has preserved it supernaturally, but God's preserved the Bible supernaturally, but when you open that book, it preserved so many people and even us today supernaturally. I don't know, without the Bible, I don't know where I would be. Without God's law, I don't know where, it has preserved, ako personally, it has preserved me. Kahit ang tanong mo na, what's preserving you? The Hammurabi Code? The Reproductive Bill? RH? Yan ba? Ano bang book? Hindi. So, it's a simple discourse, kwentuhan lang. Tapos after mag-coffee, pag ubos na, sige, uwi ka muna, research ka muna. Hindi, so I tell people, if you really think, na ano, please, have you read the Bible from cover to cover? Front cover, back cover? Cover to cover, ano yabang? If you have not read it, then please, wag mo nang ano, di ba? Wag mo nang magsalita ng ganyan, di po nga binabasa eh. Basahin mo muna. Challenge them to read it and believe God to change them while they read it. Para hindi na ikaw makapag-argue, hirap eh, tagal, magastos, kakapagod. Pero pag sila yon, tas si God, wala na sila magagawa. Pero I'm just giving you these tools so that it doesn't, you know, pag someone attacks inspiration, lahat tayo nakaganyan na, ay tama ka pala. Magiging pagan na ako. Tayo na evangelize, may mali yata doon. So, okay ba yan? I hope that helps and equips you when it comes to the inspiration of God's Word. So inspiration, it's related to the, later on we'll talk about the doctrine of inerrancy. But it's related to that because it's inspired by God. It has no error in it. And we will define what it means for inerrancy. Para maging clear pa tayo. Inerrancy is a result of inspiration. Because God inspired the human writers, the writings are incapable of error. You know, many people are so, they cannot understand what inspired means. Sabi, but it's human author. Yes, but it's also divine. Kaya nga sabi niya, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. With God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is what? Fully divine, fully human. Look at the scripture. What do we claim about the scripture? Fully divine, fully human. Yan din yung claims natin for the scripture. Sino yun? Si Jesus. Ano sabi sa John 1? Siya yun. So the whole embodiment of this, si Jesus. Inspiration is the supernatural influence exerted on the sacred writers by the Spirit of God, by virtue of which their writings are given divine trustworthiness, according to Warfield. So it's just a saying simply about inspiration. In fact, I don't know if you know this, I forgot where this verse is in Peter, where it says that the prophets of old were influenced or were inspired. The word inspired is the same Greek word that is used when you go back to Acts, and Paul was in a ship. And the Bible says that during their trip, his ship was driven over to the rocks. So, it says that when the Holy Spirit came, it inspired, it drives you, it puts you in a direction. But you see, Paul and the others, they're not, hindi naman sila napalitan, but they were just driven in a direction, in a purpose to where God wants them to be. So did they retain their humanity? Yes, but there was just the Holy Spirit who, the word is carried them along. That's the phrase. That's one Greek word. It's a nautical term that also means that when the wind blows you and that you adjust your sails properly so that you can flow with the wind and to best maximize the wind. So it's the same thing with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are carried along. And it is up to us, by the grace of God, to pray and ask for discernment on how best we could be carried along. But that's exactly the word used. Ginamit doon ni Peter, who's a fisherman. He used a nautical term to describe when scripture was being written, how the writers were influenced and inspired by God. But not, they were in a trance, you know, they forgot who they were. So nawala yung puti ng black naman, namuti yung mata. Sumusulat ako. Hindi siya ganon. Nakakatakot naman yun, di ba? Parang, ba, Conjuring ba yan? Exorcist? Hindi siya ganon. So it's just a very good picture. Again, it's a picture, but it never gives you the detail and the nuances. But it gives you a picture of the interaction or the interplay of the Holy Spirit and the human authors. That this passage, that God really carries us along towards His purpose. Okay? So that's inspiration for you. The biblical authors were not passive instruments in the transmission of divine revelation. Have you heard this? There is always this analogy. Of course, analogies have its value, and there are no... Ayun, Pastor Paul, pag narinig to, Pastor Paul is against analogies. Kasi it's not enough. True, because analogies, actually, there are no exact, kaya nga siya analogy eh. Hindi mo kayang exactly, it can only approximate yung principle na dinidescribe mo sa analogy. Now, there are two classifications of analogy, a weak analogy and a strong analogy. Now, there is this weak analogy of the inspiration, wherein we're like the pen and God is the human and he writes. Now, a pen is a passive instrument. Our stand on inspiration is that they were not passive. God used their life story, the history of their life, what they have gone through, their personality, God used their personality to write what He purposed to be recorded. Kaya pansinin mo ha, pag binasa mo ang Galatians, ay grabe si Paul. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Bakit? Galatia. Hindi nyo alam. Kaya Galatians, kasi Galatia. Yan ang problema sa inyo. You don't know your Bible. So, ito ah, mapapansin mo, as you go from Galatians to Thessalonians, to Timothy, one of his latter letters, those latter letters, as a father to a child, as a mother, what happened? For some reason, his attitude, his demeanor has tempered, his character has grown, but God still used him. And the purpose by which God wanted it recorded, He still fulfilled. But did Paul, did he change Paul? Nagbago si Paul. Ang babait na mo sa, hi, I'm in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's why I'm soft-spoken. Nalang ganon. Nung Galatians, Galatia. Diba? Pero latter part of his letters, if you look at that, no, grabe nag-iba siya. It did not stop God to fully inspire him, but to fully use his humanity as well. That's the power. Kaya hindi, pag binabasa mo siya, mapapansin mo yon sa scripture. You'll notice it. That's inspiration. Kaya hindi, don't just read passages on inspiration. Also observe the writers and the tone by which they write. It shows how God uses fully human, full divine influence just to get His purpose across and His words across. Galing, no? So makikita mo yan sa Bible. It's clearly seen. And it affirms the doctrine of inspiration. Number three, the doctrine of inerrancy teaches that the Bible in the original manuscripts, sansang ulit manuscript? Original. E paano yung hawak natin? Kasi pag-usapan natin mamaya, no? The original does not affirm anything that is contrary to fact. The Bible always tells the truth concerning everything it talks about. So, ibig sabihin, no error, it's always truthful concerning everything it talks about. Ha? Okay na ba yan? Now, ano yung mga nakikita nating mga reklamo sa Bible? Kasi inerrancy has been hit by so many people. Contradictions, whatever. And especially the issue of translation. Doon pa lang, huwag natin pag-isipan yung mga textual issues. Let's look at translation. Because it's never fully possible to translate the scripture 100% from one language to another. Alam na agad natin na parang, naku, magkakaproblema ata tayo dito. How can we transfer fully thought for thought, word for word? And that's why in Victory, we espouse that we read multiple translations. And of course, ask God to guide us and really. But if you really want the inspired, you have to go back to Hebrew and Greek. God, for some reason, chose those language to divinely carry His word. But even with that, it's only, statistically speaking, in terms of translation, there's only about less than 1% mga issues on words. For instance, these things does not go out by prayer. There's some manuscript, prayer and fasting. So may mga ganun siyang discrepancy. Tapos, yung mga ganyan, napakaliit lang yan. It doesn't even hit on major doctrines. Ngayon kung may fasting, ngayon kung walang fasting. Nonetheless, we still get the thought that Jesus had. Diba? So those are some of the things na tawag natin textual criticism, kasi may discipline na ganyan ang literature. They criticize scripture and all that. They compare the manuscripts and the translations. But even with the translation towards English, it's so minute. It does not affect major doctrine. Sabihin, it's still useful for what? Teaching, correcting, rebuking, yan. Statistically speaking. So if we'll just look at statistics. Ito ba? Inerrancy means that when all facts are known, the scripture in their original autographs and properly interpreted will be shown to be wholly true in everything they teach, whether that teaching has to do with doctrine, history, science, geography, geology, or other disciplines or knowledge. James Montgomery Boyce. So you see, this guy, who's a theologian, said that inerrancy means that when all of the facts are known, the Bible still holds true. Wala kang poproblemahin sa kanya. Hindi ka magkakaroon ng false. Any subject matter it talks about, it holds true. Kaya nga, doon natin nakikita sa Bible that the world is spherical and it's not flat. Yung mga ganon. Nasa Bible na agad yan. That's geography. Alam, nakita natin lahat yon, even before it was discovered. So it's true to everything it has. Now, of course, of course, marami na magsasabi, oh, so Bible na ba yung ano mo? Nandiyan na ba lahat? Now, the Bible is not exhaustive. The Bible is simply sufficient. There's a big difference between sufficiency and being exhaustive. Kasi some people, pag tinitira yung Bible, yung Bible ba, meron ba dyang para magluto ka ng Egg Benedict? Wala. Hindi siya cookbook. Kasi everything is there. No, we did not claim that everything is there because it's not exhaustive. But it's sufficient. Sufficient for what? Sufficient for life. Meaning, it may not have facts about medicine, engineering, all other disciplines, but if you read the Bible, you will be a moral engineer. You will be, yan. So you will do things right. You will do things according to God. So you can gain other knowledge elsewhere, but the Bible is sufficient so that whatever knowledge you gain, you use it for God's glory. So yan ang difference. Kasi lagi naman tayo tinitira. Kaya ako to sinasabing lahat. Kasi, grabe, sa tagal na natin pastor, di ba, daming best na tinira ang Bible sa atin, di ba? Eh kahit victory group leader pa lang tayo, kung tirahin yung Bible, di ba? So, over the years, we have seen na, I hope all of us would learn from each other and gain this na, you know, the Bible is what? Kasi sabihin na, nandiyan ba sa Bible to? Ito. Hindi, kasi hindi naman, the Bible never claims being exhaustive. It only claimed sufficiency. It's sufficient. So, doktor ka? It's sufficient for you. Why? You'll become a doctor that honors God. You'll know how to use your knowledge to benefit others and to serve others, to use your gifts for Him. That's sufficiency. Pero yung iba, dahil hindi exhaustive, titirahin yung Bible. Eh, hindi naman yun yung point ng Bible eh. Hindi exhaustiveness ang point niya. Sufficiency ang point niya. So is the Bible sufficient for life? Yes. It will allow you to live a life that is full, abundant life. That's the Word of God. Okay? So pag ginanon ka na, inerrancy yan, walang mali, lahat ba nandyan? No, relax ka lang. Wala tayong claim na ganyan. Okay? Hinga ka muna. Baka magpalpitate ka. Now, the scripture possess the quality of freedom from error. They are exempt from the liability of to mistake, incapable of error. In all they teach, they are perfect and in accord with truth, according to Edward. In everything it teaches, it allows, it's truthful, no mistakes, does not allow for that. But, ito na, listen to me, ha? Ito, importante to sa ano. Inerrancy allows for, it's in your manual, inerrancy allows for the following. Ayan, ha? Kasi, pag sinabi lang natin, walang error, ang daming iba-ibang interpretation. So, dapat lahat, pare-pareho, walang magkakaiba. Pero ito, tingnan natin mga ano, issues on inerrancy. If we do not qualify categorically what inerrancy means, we will be in trouble. So, let's take a look at the following. Inerrancy allows for, first, the use of popular expressions approximations and language of appearance. Let me give you an example. In Numbers chapter 25, verse 9, it talks about how the Israelites died with a plague and 24,000 died. Eh si Paul, nung 1 Corinthians, kwento rin niya, sabi niya, 23,000 died. Oy, walang error, oh, mali oh. Huh? 24,000, 23,000, ah, mali na yung Bible niyo. Off siya by 1,000. But inerrancy allows for what? Approximations. Parang ganito. Daming namatay, mga ilan? Mga 5,000. Tapos tinanong ko yung isang kaibigan, mga ilan? Mga 4,000. Why? Because the point is not the number of those who died. But why they died? Oh, hindi yun yung point nung, 1,000 yung ano. Itapon na yung buong Bible. yun ba yung point ng usapan? Hindi yun yung point ng usapan. Di ba? Parang, magkano sweldo mo? Or magkano yung, ano niya? Mga, ano, magkano bibili mo dyan? Mga 500. Ah, tapos nung nakita ko sa store, 485. Ay, sinungaling ka? Ay, kala ko ba kaibigan kita? Sinabi mo, 500. Abiro mo, ano ang sakit ng puso ko? The betrayal. When I found out it's 485, what kind of a friend are you? I cannot believe that for 15 pesos, you would risk our friendship. Sino yung ganun dito? Parang awa nyo na. That's what you call room for approximations. Expressions. Ano yung expression? Honor your body. Nag-preach kayo nun. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everything is permissible. Preach nyo yan? But not everything is beneficial. Now, if you look at the text, everything is permissible is in quote. But not everything is beneficial, unquote. So, that's an expression. Huwag mong kunin yan at gamitin, everything is permissible, everything is permissible. No, it's a quote used by the Corinthians to justify what they were doing. It's not the inspired text that everything is permissible. In fact, the statement after that was against that quote. Everything, but not everything is beneficial. All things are permissible, quote, unquote, but I will not be mastered by anything. So sabi niya, you think all things are beneficial. It's a saying. Because that's a statement of I can be free to do anything. Tapos biglang sinagot ni Paul, but I will not be mastered about anything. That one thing that you allow in your life, a sin you think you're free to do, it will master you. Any sin you allow and you think is permissible in your life, in the end will master you. And you think you're free, you're no longer free. So that statement is an expression. It's not the inspired word of God. Wow, all things are permissible. So ikaw naman, oh, basta all things are permissible, ha? Preach ka, all things are permissible. Hindi, quote yun. Tapos after nung quote, sinagot niya, mali. All things are permissible is a statement of freedom. But nonetheless, if you allow sin to encroach in you, that which you think you are free from actually masters you. Kaya sabi niya, I will not be mastered by anything. Boom. Pinasabog niya yung saying. So don't, it allows for that expression. Eh, pag ginamit mo, pero pag tingnan mo yung statement, may mali. Ah, mali yung Bible, hindi nga, keynote ni Paul, kasi ginagawang excuse ng mga Corinthians to what? To do whatever they want. Food for the stomach, stomach for food. Quote ulit, but God will destroy both of them. Katay ka. Ibig sabihin, sex is just like an appetite for you. If you're hungry, you eat. If you have sexual arousal, you just do it. No way. God will destroy that. So please do not use those quotes. Because they were the errors of that day. And he was quoting it and what? Saying things against it. Kaya may quote, unquote. Pag yan na-preach mo ng, oh, the word says everything is permissible, patay tayo ron. So that's how you exegete, and that's allowing for expressions, approximations, 24,000, 22,000, ibang number. But that's not the point. It's not the number. But the approximation is quite right. In effect, many died. Eh kung sinabi kong 20,000 plus, okay pa rin yun. So it allows for that. So inerrancy allows for that. Okay? The inerrancy of the Bible means simply that the Bible tells the truth. Truth can and does not include approximations, free quotations, language of appearance. Alam mo yung sabihin ng language of appearance? And Joshua was fighting and the sun stood still. The sun stood still? It's always still. The earth really stood still. But you know why the sun stood still? Because the one writing, the language of appearance, is the sun stood still. Because in our perspective, it's the sun moving and the moon, sun rising. Sun rising. When I tell you, Jerome, the sun is rising. Ano sabi mo sa akin? You foolish Galatians. What do you think? Sun is rising. The sun is not moving. It's the earth that's moving. But you know why we both agree? But every single day when the sun rises, the language of appearance tells us the sun is rising. It allows for language of appearance. So wag tayo maging technical na, ito naman si Joshua, hindi marunong science, hindi man lang nanonood astronomy bago nagsalita. Si Moses, walang alam sa astronomy. Hindi, language, we use it every day. Language of appearance. So kung may scientist na nagsabi sa'yo, look at that, Moses, the writer, does not know that the sun is still, you know, because it allows, inerrancy allows for language of appearance. Diba? Tapos tanong mo sa scientist, what time will the sun rise tomorrow? See? You, scientist, you know nothing. Oh, ganun din naman, diba? Okay, relax lang tayo. Diba? Yun yung ibig sabihin ng language of appearance. Kasi, you know, people to have an excuse not to obey the Bible will look for just about anything to discredit it. Kahit ano na lang na makita. Diba? Kinuha mo yung Bible mo, one time, kumain ka ng sauce, nalagyan ng dot. Ba't may dot yung dalawa yung dot ng ay? Mali. Hindi, ano ko yun, yung tinga ko yun, nahulo. Mga ganon. Magagawa sila ng excuse not to obey the Word of God. Sensya na kayo, ha? Pero yung mga example ko medyo gugulo, di ba? Pero that's inerrancy. So let us not be drawn into that trap na pag sinabing inerrancy, ay grabe, wala na tayong pag-uusapan. Inerrancy yan. Hindi, it allows for such. Okay ba yan? Are you learning something? That's why when you read the Bible, you see those things. Huwag kayo agad mataken aback. Because inerrancy means the following. Variety in style. So, hindi porke si Peter iba magsulat, tsaka si Luke was one of the most sophisticated writers of the New Testament. Because he's a doctor. Pagpunta mo kay John, tsaka kay Peter, ay parang, ba't napasama to sa Bible? Mga bobo yung fishermen sila. Relax lang kayo. So, hindi ganun ka-refine yung Greek nila. Yung grammar nila, baka hindi tama. Ginamit pa rin ni Lord. Yan. So, it allows for variety. Okay? Hindi yung pagka, kasi may iba, when they study the level of the actual language, they start to have textual criticisms regarding it. Ganun ka, you know, if I've read literatures on textual criticism of the Bible, man, susumpain, sumusunugin eh. Kasi it's about the littlest, why are we even talking about, it's just a simple waste of ink and paper. Pero they write it and they want to prove us wrong and just to have an excuse. So all of this, at least, alam natin, we have a proper understanding of the doctrine of inerrancy. Variety in details in explaining the same event. So meron tayo, di ba? Alam mo yung, meron isang si Jesus, he was going out of Jericho. In another account, he was entering into Jericho. I think it's Luke and Matthew. It's from a different point of view. There are two cities, the old Jericho and the new Jericho. So one person talked about him going out of that Jericho. The other one talked about him going into that Jericho. But it's the same event. So may error ba? Hindi. Parang nagkwento ka, pero nandun ka sa kabilang part ng room. Ako nagkwento ako sa kabilang part ng room. Parang elepante titingnan natin, pero ikaw nakita mo yung ilong ng elepante. Ako nakita ko yung puwet ng elepante. So dinescribe ko yung elepante. Ah, dalawang malaking ganyan, tapos may hiwa sa gitna. Ikaw naman, isang ganyan na parang ahas. Pero elepante yung dalawa, di ba? So it's all the same. It's a perspective issue. The synoptic gospel has always been given that kind of an analogy because some of them would put emphasis on other things, depending also on their audience. So Luke was a historian. Matthew was talking to the Jews. Alam mo yan? So Peter was a man of action. So Mark, his scribe, wrote the gospel in such a way. Diba? Si John naman, nakita niya. Naku, pare-pareho na yung sinulat ng tatlo. Doon naman tayo sa beloved ako. Mas marami kong alam ng mga sinabi yung secret things sa akin. Kaya tingnan mo, in the beginning. Kakaiba, di ba? Yung iba, halos pare-pare story, genealogy, mga actions. Ito, biglang theological. Tapos may mga emphasis siya on very significant events, si John. For instance, the night before he was to be betrayed, ang haba ng story, yung sa iba. And he was betrayed. Action eh. Account lang. But we learn so much from it. His prayers for his disciples was written there. It was not written on the other synoptic gospel. So I guess John, kasi si, by the way, historically, John was the last one who wrote yung sa gospels, the gospels, yung account. So I guess he already had a reading of the previous ones and tried to fill. Many believe that. Now again, we don't know that because we don't know the God's purpose or his inspiration. But many scholars believe that because of the timeline when John wrote the Gospels, he was looking at, ay, ito na sinulat ni Matthew. Ay, halos pareho na ni Luke. O si Mark, okay rin. Okay, ito na yung sulat ko. So that is what many scholars believe about John. And so, difference in style. Variations in the reporting of events. And the last, and then we'll go for a break. The primary challenge to inerrancy is that the idea that the Bible is only authoritative for faith and practice. Ibig sabihin, they limit what the effects of the Bible. Now, again, sinigot ko na naman yan kanina. Basically, if people tries to limit the Bible, sabihin mo ito yun. Of course, if you're talking about limitations on information and data, hindi siya exhaustive, but it's sufficient. Sufficient for everything in life. Especially your major decisions in life. So you can be a doctor, but your life is spiraling down. But the Bible has the answer for that. For you to have a full life. It's sufficient for that. Okay, it's 3:34. Parang ang bilis, no? 2:40 kanina. Parang sandali pa lang ako nagsasalita. 3:34 na. Bakit ang bilis ng relos na yan? Di ba dapat may break na naman tayo ng 10 minutes? Tama ba ako? Tama ba? Tumatawag na para sa break? Sige, 10-minute break ulit and then we'll go for the last.